Finding high-quality mental health care can be daunting and exhausting. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, depression, insomnia, stress, grief, big life changes, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can now use FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Irios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hi, everyone. Before we get to this episode of The Cinemile, I wanted to take a minute to give a huge thank you to all of our new patrons over at patreon.com/ The Cinemile. So we have a whole Patreon thing going up called the Cinemile High Club, which is a bonus podcast feed where we review retro movies and TV shows. So there's got nearly 40 episodes there for you to listen to unlock for the price of $2 or $3 a month. And it helps get the show made and helps cover all our expenses. And we love doing it. So and we're going to be watching Looper next, if you want to hear us talk about Looper. So I would like to extend a massive thank you on behalf of me and Kathy for all our new members, including Daniel Shinnick, Sven van der Ven, hey Sven, Felicity, Ian, Neil West, Paula Bolton, Anna Vilcek, sorry Anna, I'm butchering it probably, Jem, and Mary, who I believe is Kathy's sister's Elizabeth's friend. So hi, Mary. And hello to all of you. And a big thank you again. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to join these esteemed people in the fun community and chat we have over there and get all those podcast episodes, head over to patreon.com/thecinemile. Hi, it's Dave here and this is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile, the podcast where we used to walk home from the movies.
It's such a good tagline.
What a great premise for a podcast. We watch a movie and talk about it on the couch.
I know, no one's
no
done
one
this.
Would ever have thought of that. Yeah. Right, so it's week 763 in lockdown and we've decided to watch Le Mans 66 because so many people
have recommended it. So we put a shout out on our social media, like on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, to people like to recommend us new-ish movies because there's not much going on in the cinema right now, and so many of you said Le Mans 66 and thank you,
and that is literally the only reason we're watching this,
because
I have no interest in seeing this.
But then realize it's James Mangold, which we hadn't known, who directed Logan, which is a movie we loved,
and Walk the Line, which is a movie I didn't love.
Walk the Line I didn't love, no, but I don't tend to like biopics that much, so that's why.
That's kind of what this is.
Well, no, this seems to be from the synopsis. Car designer Carroll Shelby and driver Ken Miles set out to do the impossible, build a car that can beat Ferrari. That's not a biopic. That's a moment in time that's been put into film.
Yeah.
And we have recorded two episodes of The Cinemile in Le Mans for any keen listeners who remember. So my sister used to live there. So we recorded an episode where we went to see Mamma Mia 2. And we recorded an episode
Predator.
Where we went to Predator because it was
remastered
Predator
in 4K. It was brilliant.
So the cinema has got a history with Le Mans. I believe it was called something else in the cinema though.
No, it was called something else in different regions.
Right.
Here it's called Le Mans 66. I believe in America it's called Ford versus Ferrari.
Right.
Probably,
okay.
And let's look into this while we're Googling later and come back with an answer. But my guesstimation would be that a Ford is a name that would ring true in America.
Ford versus Ferrari is very recognizable. Le Mans, if my sister hadn't lived there, I would not know what had 24-hour racing.
Yeah, probably doesn't have as much of a ring to it. Ford versus Ferrari is probably the better title, if I'm honest.
But Le Mans makes me more interested. And I have to say, like, one of the reasons I didn't want to watch it initially is because I'm not a huge fan of... What's his
Christian
name?
Bale.
Christian Bale. But I really like Matt Damon. So, we'll see. So I'm actually really excited to watch this because we know nothing about 24-hour racing. All I know about Le Mans 24-hour racing is that Patrick Dempsey, a.k.a. McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy, goes to Le Mans and, like, has a key to the city and is, like, part of the racing. Because my sister told me.
Yeah, he does it every year.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
All I know about it is that it takes 24 hours.
And we don't know anything about racing.
Do they race for 24 hours?
I have no idea.
Or is it, like, the whole race is a whole thing that goes on for 24 hours?
It's like the long walk, that book. If you stop driving, you actually get shot. But the... we loved Senna, the documentary about Formula One, not knowing anything about Formula One. We love sports movies. So I actually think this is looking really promising. And frankly, we're effing desperate for a movie at this point. A new
yeah,
movie.
But what's putting me off on this is it's 2.5 hours long.
Well, that's where we better get going.
All right, okay.
We've just about enough time to watch this before a baby wakes up that needs feeding.
It says it contains strong language, mature themes and flashing images.
Ooh, fascinating. It's
three of my favourite things.
Really excited to watch Le Mans 66. So what would we write in the episode description? Would we write Le Mans 66 / Ford versus Ferrari?
Well, there's no point in having this conversation because to the listeners, it will have already been
I'm
answered.
Just thinking out loud.
So what?
Let's put up a poll. What should we call this episode? That's how desperate we are for things to talk about.
It's the most no. boring poll in the world.
Won't. Right. Okay. See you in 1 hour and 52 minutes.
Okay. Bye. Bye. It's 152 minutes.
Oh.
Oh, honey. Learn how to count minutes. I wish. You got 40 minutes on top.
Yeah.
No. Whatever it is, Shell, no. Trust me. You're going to build a car to beat Ferrari with a Ford.
Correct.
How long did you tell them that you needed? 200-300 years?
90 days.
This isn't the first time Ford Motors has gone to war. We know how to do more than push paper. Go ahead, Carol. Go to war.
Thank you, sir.
Do you think you can beat Ferrari?
I can try.
We're lighter, we're faster. That don't work, we're nastier.
We're gonna make history.
Hi everyone, time has passed. Not just the time for the movie, but the time of an evening and a night. Because it's now the next day and we're out for our walk. Daily
day
exercise.
Sanctioned, pushing a baby around.
So we watched that movie.
We watched it last night.
Ford versus Le Mans.
Ford 66. Versus Le Mans. And firstly, I have to say, as long as it was, it didn't drag. So it's a plus for me.
But it also wasn't a drag race.
No, that's true. And it was an interesting one. I certainly really enjoyed elements of it. And actually, for the first time in ages, I felt like we were at the cinema watching a movie, like watching a new big budget movie, because we've been watching a couple of things that have gone like straight to DVD or Netflix, or straight to VOD on demand. So it was good to watch it like a cinematic movie we hadn't seen.
It's a good looking movie.
It ain't no Logan, so I think that was better.
It's a hard comparison, really.
Same director. And it's an interesting movie because I feel like, having seen it now, and we're not spoiling yet either the movie or real life, because we didn't know what happened, so it was all new to us. After the movie finished, I felt very much like the whole first hour and a half of the movie had been directly aimed at people who knew how it was going to end. So I felt like if you didn't know how it was going to go end, there was huge chunks of really boring bits designed to evoke certain emotions in you.
that didn't evoke any emotion in me. So I found those scenes very dull. I've really enjoyed Matt Damon. I know I said at the start that I'm not the biggest Christian Bale fan, and I wasn't really a fan of him in this either. I appreciate he was... I know he's a good actor, and I appreciate he was probably doing, like, a brilliant... I'm presuming he was doing a brilliant impression of this guy, right? But
Ken Miles is the name of the guy.
It just felt like an impression. It did not feel like a real person. I think he was doing it too heavy and too hard, and, like, he almost was veering on, like, being... like the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins. Like,
oh, with the accent. Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. It was just so weird.
I think it's a real accent.
Oh, I think it's a real accent.
I know somebody with that.
It's a real accent, but he was putting it on, and, like, I think he just felt like an impression to me. I never felt like he was a real person. I really enjoyed Matt Damon. I enjoyed the stuff in Le Mans. We only saw the city for about 30 seconds. We saw the old town of Le Mans, so we were really excited when we saw that. And yeah, it turns out they do actually race for 24 hours, but it's not the same person. So they kind of dip in and out. So yeah, there's bits of it I enjoyed, but overall, there was too many bits of it that I found irksome, and they all involved Christian Bale.
So I feel bad because I know so many of our listeners recommended this, and a few people were really excited for us to watch it and rated it as one of the best movies of last year.
But we did enjoy the watch, though. So thank you for recommending it.
It's an enjoyable watch. But for me, I didn't really gel with this movie. I don't think it's great. I think it's like
But
fine.
It's great if you know the story, I think.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
So if you're really connected to this story or this kind of racing and you know the backstory and, you know, there's big characters in the automobile industry. And so if you're into all that, they're present. You know, Henry Ford II and Enzo Ferrari, Carol Shelby, who Matt Damon's character is apparently a very famous person who I've never heard of. So, yeah, maybe if you go into it with that context, it's very enjoyable. For me, as an outsider, I wasn't brought into this world enough. I wasn't invested in any of the characters enough. Emotionally or just interestingly, I was actually bored for a lot of this.
Like, they felt they spent a lot of the movie on, like, character stuff when we felt like they should have actually been explaining stuff a bit more to us.
No, not we. You kept saying that, and I said, no, a good sports movie needs to invest you in the character so that you care about the outcome of it in the end.
But it also needs to explain properly what's happening with the sport so that you can actually follow
For me, this movie did neither.
Yeah.
So I disagree with you that a movie should spend more time on explaining mechanics than character.
No, I said this movie was doing too much character, mechanics. Right.
But I think that's what's missing for me. I didn't really enjoy Christian Bale's performance either. And I didn't like I just didn't like him in this movie. And I didn't like his performance of Ken Miles. I found him to be a grating, irritating character, arrogant. But I think the movie wants you to admire the arrogance, you know, as if there's this little man against the big system. Like, the enemy, the antagonist in this movie are the people that he and Matt Damon are working for. It's Ford. It's the commercial entity. It's the giant business.
The marketing department.
It's the marketing department are the bad guys. And so it's this movie's kind of pitched as sort of, it's not Ford versus Ferrari. It's individual creative expression versus corporate interests, and that's kind of the theme of this movie. And that's kind of fine. But let's talk about the spoiler street at the end, because I think that screenplay mishandles towards the end what they're actually trying to say. And for me, it doesn't end up saying anything. But
also, it's like you're not actually the little people if you're talking about it's like the early 60s and Ford are paying you $200 a day. That's so much money to work for them. Then don't be so effing rude about it. Like, if they're your employers and you're working for them, fine. If you don't want to, don't do it. But why are you raging against the machine when you're part of it, it's
rage against the machine.
It just doesn't make any sense.
But that's why because the individual is right, and we as the audience know that they're right, that Ken Miles is the best damn racer to be in that seat, and Matt Damon's fighting tooth and nail for it to happen. That's, we're supposed to be with them on that journey, and the bad guys are the guys in the suits saying he's not the right look, he's not a Ford racer.
He's really rude.
But I just thought he was a dick. I thought Christian Bale's character was just an asshole, and I didn't
like him. I didn't like spending time with him. I didn't find him. I think I was supposed to find him charismatic.
But
and
it's because of how
inspiring.
Christian Bale played him. Like it was like the way I would describe Christian Bale in this movie is like an old lady doing a Dick Van Dyke impression, doing the chimney sweep in Mary Poppins. Like.
Yeah.
Like I was like, when did Christian Bale turn into an old woman?
So,
because
so,
it's bizarre what he looks like in this movie.
For,
I
mean, the for me that's. I couldn't connect with the movie, like, and everything else. All it has all the pieces there. Like, it's a good-looking movie. It's a very like, I would say kind of.
It looked lovely.
It looked lovely. It's got all the elements of a good sports movie, like all of it, to the point of actually. It contains, I think, every single sports movie cliche there is. Maybe even every movie cliche there is. You know, you've got the nervous wife listening on the radio. You've got the guy, the racer, showing up to the stadium the night before and wandering around the empty stadium, just like Rocky did. You've got him nervously listening to the race of somebody else, like the night before. You've got it even contains like a scene where Henry Ford gets the outcome of the race. Over the phone of a race over the phone, and he goes and he describes talking about Matt Damon's character. He says, "That son of a bitch."
every scene we just kept going, "My God,
that son
of
a bitch."
Yeah, but you know what?
He was right.
Really interesting because we both loved Senna, but Senna was a documentary, and when we spoke to the director of Senna, Asif Kapadia, on our live show last year about Senna, he said that like. The reason he wanted Senna to be a documentary, and he said he's a huge fan of sports movies, is because if it's just a fictionalized driving movie, it's just a zoom in on someone's face pretending to drive, and that's actually exactly how I felt watching this. Like when you're watching Rocky, because you use that example, like they're actually boxing. Like I know it's pretty fake, but they're physically doing it. You're just watching Christian Bale in a simulation, like that's fundamentally boring. And any scene with him driving, and I hate that they did this. I hate when characters talk out loud to themselves. It was just Christian Bale being like, "Cor blimey, mate, that was a something or other," and he started like talking about cricket and like
and
just doing awful. And I know he's actually English.
The words "Cor blimey" are actually said in this movie. Kathy is not exaggerating.
If I didn't know that Christian Bale was English, I'd have been like, "That American put on the worst English accent I've ever heard."
Yeah.
So. I was like, stop talking to yourself. Stop showing me Christian Bale pretending to drive. Stop showing me Christian Bale and his wife snogging.
There's a scene. This isn't really a spoiler. It's right at the beginning. This is one of these. It's again one of these cliches where you're introduced to Christian Bale and his wife through a scene in which she walks into the shop and pretends to be a stranger and being like, "Hey, well, you're such a bad car salesman. You didn't know this and XYZ." And he puts on the show as well. And we're supposed to be, "Oh, who are these
couple just like,
with
that's his
electric
wife.
Sexual chemistry?" And we're like, "Yeah, that's his wife. Great." And
but
then
we do need to talk about what we
I'm
like.
I'm so glad I married you. I'm like, oh, I
we
can't.
We do need to
I
talk about
like
what
this.
We liked because we actually both really liked all the stuff when they were like pitching the idea to Ford. Like there's like a sales pitch where the marketing guy is like, "Ford is boring, nobody cares about Ford," and he said like really interesting, like especially because it was VED
played
here yesterday
wonderfully by John Bernthal doing his best Don Draper impression.
Yeah,
and I really enjoyed all that stuff.
And he was showing pictures of VE Day, and he's like, "What's the first thing all the soldiers did when they came back from World War II?" And he's like, "They had sex." And he shows like the famous picture of someone kissing in Times Square, and then he's like, "That was 17 years ago. For the first time in history, we've now got a load and loads of 17-year-olds who have come into age with loads of money and they want to buy cars." And he's like, "And they want to buy Ferraris because Ferraris are sexy, and nobody cares about Ford." So we loved all that stuff.
I loved watching all the machinations.
Putting
of
the
that.
Team, the team comes together. They like spill the Ford car, and we were laughing because we were like, "Ford is like the underdog in the story, yet Ford is like a $1 billion company."
Yeah, but they do. Feel like the underdog, and I think the movie does a good it does well to position them as the underdog,
because
that's not an easy thing to do. But
I enjoyed Henry Ford Jr. as well.
But there are a lot of enjoyable cliches in this movie, and when I said I wasn't giving out about cliches earlier, I think
I
a good
cliches.
Sports movie needs to contain a lot of cliches, but they only work if you're actually emotionally invested in the outcome and you like the characters, and I didn't. So that, and partly that's not necessarily the screenplay fault or the movie's fault. That might just be what I brought to it. But the actual cliches are when they work are fun. Like the I forget the actor's name, but the guy who's playing the antagonist,
Josh Lucas.
He's wonderful as this smarmy suit who's basically butting heads with Matt Damon at every point. And you just and when the way Matt Damon handles him often is really entertaining.
Matt Damon is so enjoyable.
Matt
Damon's
great
Matt Damon.
In this, yeah.
He didn't get enough screen time. He really didn't. Like, I wanted to watch more of him.
He's charming and enigmatic, and I enjoyed him and I liked him. And I felt like but he was an easier character to get behind,
yeah,
because he was trying to keep everybody happy and have the best outcome. Whereas I felt like, let's talk in spoiler street about sort of Ken Miles' ultimate journey as a character and what he learns, because I don't think it worked.
But again, I think it's a shame
felt
because
contrived.
Ken Miles is obviously a real person, and I feel like the elements and the rebellious elements of his personality, if written right and played right, could have made us really root for him. But it just wasn't done well. Like, it was just him walking into situations and being horrible to people. And like,
but in all those
and
instances,
maybe that's what he was like, but I don't know the real man, and I felt like it's a bit of a disservice to portray somebody like that.
Let's give an example. These aren't big spoilers, but I'll give you an example of a scene which you're describing. So he brings Christian Bale as Ken Miles brings his son to an unveiling
launch
of the new Ford, big Ford car. It's a custom car, and he instantly, without knowing who this man is, he and our antagonist Josh Lucas, the sleazy smarmy VP of communications or whatever he is, meet over.
Smarmy,
he comes out and says, "Is that your son? He's touching my car." And then Christian Bale sort of schools him on everything that's wrong with that car. "Yeah, I don't think it's a great car, actually, because you're missing XYZ transmission, and I'd cut the brakes out, and blah, blah, blah.
And your car's a piece of shit."
And
it's like, don't let your kid into a demonstration of a new model in this huge, like, big day. Don't let your kid just go in and maul the car. Like, that's actually not appropriate behaviour.
But well, no, it's not. And it's just
your man's right to say, "Look, do you mind not letting your kid paw my car, please?"
Exactly. I was like, I'm on the side of the smarmy dude. And this is one of those cliche scenes which are often so enjoyable. It's wish fulfillment. When it's the person in the high school toilet talking about you while you're behind the closed door, and then you get to march out and correct them. You know, it's that thing.
Yeah.
It's the thing of, like,
but
proving someone wrong, or someone's talking about you in a foreign language and you drop a retort that language.
Sprechen ich Deutsch.
Yeah, so
no, but you know why it didn't work?
It's like, he's the expert and he just schooled him.
But why it didn't work is because they had never met before, and therefore he wasn't an antagonist to him at that point.
Yeah, he's
so
just,
he was just being rude.
Swinging his dick around.
Yeah,
and
so
being,
just being, rude.
Being rude.
Whereas if, like, multiple times already that guy had been awful to Christian Bale, we probably would have been rooting for him. But again, I actually think your kid shouldn't be allowed to paw a really expensive car at a big unveiling day. So get your kid off the car.
Yeah,
that kid,
have some decorum,
he was a great actor, the guy who played Christian Bale's son.
Was wonderful.
Yeah, we loved him.
So don't have his name to hand, but a shout out to that kid. Wonderful actor.
Yeah.
And I think, wouldn't be surprised if, like, 20 years from now, he's a household name and we watch this.
20 years from now, he's probably a household name now. We
whatever,
probably just don't know him. He's probably in, like, a Disney show or something.
It's probably Timothée Chalamet, who seems to be in everything. I think he can play any age. So I feel like I'm being a bit hard on this movie, but it's a lot of it is just a personal connection to it. It didn't work for me. It didn't gel. But it's actually a totally, like, I don't think anything went wrong with the making of this.
No.
I just think it was missing some core script elements. I think Christian Bale's performance didn't work for me, and
like, Christian Bale, like, for me ruined the movie.
The other things
absolutely
I liked were,
ruined the movie.
I actually thought the racing scenes were really well put together. They looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of amazing like, camera work in this that was
and
quite
we didn't
thrilling.
Know, like, so first of all, we didn't know anything about the race. And what was really cool is that at the start, it's the start of the 24-hour race, they all line up and then they all have to run to their cars.
Yeah, it's
the,
like,
start of the race.
It's like the
100
awesome. Meter sprint, which was fun.
That
so there's
was
a
really cool.
However, I think there's
wasn't
a lot of
100 meters.
There's a lot
though.
Of interesting stuff in this, but I think you said it earlier, like, the film's not very forgiving if you don't know anything about these races or
yeah.
how they work, like,
and I think because it is a big budget Hollywood blockbuster, like, I think they should have done a little bit more to explain it, because it's not a niche. Like, I didn't know anything about, I often watch sports movies where I don't know anything about the sport but I can totally follow it, or like Friday Night Lights, the TV show we love, like, I felt like an expert on American football by the end of that.
But it's actually so easy to do, because all you got to drop in is a character who's an audience surrogate who doesn't
yeah.
know what the hell's going on, and then you have Matt Damon explain it to them in very basic terms.
He did that, though. At one point Matt Damon did a really good monologue where he explained Le Mans 24-hour race.
Oh, I like that.
Guy,
I like
yeah.
that when he's like,
to the Punisher.
What do I need what do I need to win this race? And he says, you can't win that race with money. And it's just like, and then he gives you the whole thing, and it's like, when you're facing down 7,000 RPM and you're tired and your body's sweating and you don't know, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like,
and you're hungry.
I was with it. I'm
but
like,
at that point, though, I
I'm
thought,
with that movie at this
but see,
stage.
They only let us know at the very end. Like, at that point, I kind of thought it was like that book, The Long Walk, because I thought, oh my God, they have to drive for 24 hours. This is awesome.
But he's getting out in the middle of it and having a nap and having a cup of tea and
phoning his wife. Right at the end of the movie, Christian Bale's like swapping out with people who are driving, and we're like, oh, sorry, we thought this was a 24-hour endurance test.
That's not an
endurance. This is bullshit. What I wanted was Christian Bale falling asleep at the wheel or something, or like drinking coffee.
The movie does also, to its credit, it really hammers home the danger that they're facing. And anytime there was a crash, I was audibly going, ah!
Yeah.
Like, I was, it was scary. Yeah. So I was
the crashes
quite
were really
thrilled
well done.
At the sort of peril of it. Felt very real.
Yeah.
So I think, like, James Mangold is a great director. And,
yeah.
And there was one, I think my favourite sort of little touch that he did was that, well, let's talk to it in spoiler street, actually.
Yeah,
well, we got a spoilers now.
Spoilers. Okay, now, for real.
Would you recommend it then?
I actually really recommend it because albeit I had issues with it, do you know what? I just frankly really enjoyed watching like a big budget movie at home that I haven't seen yet, because most of the ones that are out, the big ones we've seen already.
I wanted to watch Sonic the Hedgehog.
They wanted to watch Sonic the Hedgehog. So I was really glad. I felt like it was really good escapism for the times we're in. And like at the end of the day, Christian Bale and Matt Damon are like two big movie stars, you know, and like I enjoyed watching, albeit Christian Bale annoyed me, I enjoyed watching them together and seeing how they acted together. And I certainly always enjoy things based on real life because I feel like I learned something. So I really felt like I now have a better understanding of 24-hour racing. I also now know that Daytona is not only for making Matt, it's for racing. So I've now learned a lot about Daytona this year. For anyone who hasn't seen Cheer, that's like kind of the big end of Cheer, is at Daytona on Netflix. So I definitely recommend it for sure. And thank you everyone who recommended it to us. And apologies for now absolutely destroying it on Spoiler Street.
Yeah, okay.
Big warning, there's real facts here to be learned in Spoiler Street, so turn off if you don't want to know, okay?
Yeah.
Now we're going to give you 5 seconds to walk to your phone from wherever you are and stop it.
Okay, so now we're full spoilers for Ford versus Ferrari or Le Mans 66 or whatever you want to call it.
So will I tell you what I felt like?
Well, no, can I finish? I was just about to talk about the little touch that I really liked. Was the first time they go to Le Mans and Ken Miles is told by Carroll Shelby, you're not going. And he does that little moment of... there were a few nice things, touches that I think that Christian Bale brought to the character. Like, he doesn't like get angry or anything. He just kind of walks to the door and then says, you know, make sure the guys do X, Y, Z.
But is that Christian Bale bringing it to the character, or is that just how it was written and directed?
Well, I don't know. But I felt bad for him in that moment. I felt bad.
And he's like, tell them the gearbox is going to overheat. Yeah. Okay, bye. Yeah.
But what I really liked was the scene after that, the way they told the outcome of that first race.
That was really good. We never saw the race.
And I thought there was a lovely touch to stay with Ken Miles and his experience of it on the radio while he's working through the night.
I love that.
And I really loved it.
Except for when the wife came.
Their relationship was really annoying. But there was one particular touch which I loved and was like, this is actual cinema magic right now. And it was the only time I felt like that this movie did something particularly interesting or that I hadn't seen before. And it's the way that they're in an airplane hangar and planes going like driving by with massive lights, and it's the way it was lighting all the cars against the back wall as the plane moved made it look like the race was happening in shadows on the wall behind him as the radio was doing it.
That bit made me think, oh, this would be lovely in the cinema, like it would have been a good one.
That felt like I got chills at that moment. So that was really impressive. But what did you want to say?
I just wanted to say about like, we did not know the ending, right? So the ending being that the character Christian Bale's playing is he ultimately...
Well, the man, he's not a character.
Yeah, he ultimately passes away in a crash, like, long
while
after
they're
Le Mans,
testing.
While they're testing something else.
Very,
which is really sad. And
really
was really
sad,
well done
and his
scene.
Son, I don't know if that's true or not, but his son in the movie, his son is...
I think
present and
true.
Witnesses
yeah.
it, which is really horrific.
And I think what was... So basically what was... But the problem with the movie was, obviously that's really sad, right? And I think that was a really well done scene. But we didn't know that ultimately he was going to die. And obviously the movie wanted, for when that happened, the movie wanted us to really feel for the wife and son, right? But what they did for that to happen, and it really didn't work for either of us, is there were so many scenes with Christian Bale and his son and his wife that were, like, frankly, tediously boring. And I get that they were doing it because they wanted us to be, like, really upset when he died. But honestly, I'd be upset if anyone in a movie died, and if I knew they, you know, of course I'd be upset for their wife and kid. Like, I don't need to watch scenes of Christian Bale playing with his son. I don't need to watch multiple scenes of Christian Bale and his wife being so tedious together. Like, their scenes were shockingly bad.
It didn't work. It was this, like, forced...
it was awful.
Forced, like, lame banter, like, romantic banter.
Awful.
And it just felt like the screenwriters
so bad.
Had written it. None of it felt organic.
All
like,
she was
Hello,
just, like,
Mr.
someone
Miles.
Who... She only ever spoke about him and what he was doing and, like... And she was so boring, and like, I'm sure the real woman wasn't like that. And I'd personally hate to be reduced to being that on screen. Like there's a scene, an awful scene, a truly awful scene, when him and Matt Damon start fighting, physically fighting.
And that's supposed to be played for laughs.
And we were like stony silence. It might have been better if we were in the cinema. And then she like pulls up a chair and like starts reading a magazine.
And it's supposed to be, boys will be boys.
Yeah,
I'm going to go do the shopping. An ice soda,
or whatever she says, an ice pop. So because they spend so much time with their wife and son and Christian Bale, and I kept being like, show us more. Like, you're building an awesome car that's about to be the first American car ever to win at Le Mans. I mean, I guessed that was going to happen, or they weren't going to make the movie. Why would you make the movie otherwise? They barely showed us a car building montage. Like, I was like, get to the montage. I want to see what's going to happen. Oh no, instead we're going to watch Christian Bale and his wife driving around in the car having an argument about this, that and the other.
Oh, sorry. That's one of the worst scenes in the movies, by the way. That's a pivotal moment where we're at the stage of the screenplay where Christian Bale is playing the reluctant hero and Matt Damon is trying to convince him that he needs to come on board with this Ford thing.
Which didn't make any sense
anyway.
It
doesn't make a lick of sense. Because he's like, he's sitting in a diner with Matt Damon telling him, they're going to take control of that thing and it's never going to happen and it's impossible, I'm out. And he walks away and you're like, whoa, what's Matt Damon going to be able to do to convince him? He's so like sticking to his guns. But it's like, no, two scenes ago you were having a discussion with your wife about your nest egg's gone, you were flat broke
and you're about to lose your home.
You're about to lose your home and you're like, no, I will not take $200 a day out of principle because it's a giant company with a load of money. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, he's
man?
A mechanic.
Go
like,
make your...
All car companies are huge and make loads of money. Like, there's, you know what I mean? There's no, like, what's he on about? Like,
it just didn't. It didn't ring true. It didn't make sense.
But they should and have it, built up. They should have built him up more as somebody who, like, kind of has. If he did have it, a fundamental. Fundamental disdain for big business, right? Like, what is he, like a socialist? Like, does he not like capitalism? Like, why
he's
is he so angry at Ford?
It didn't make any sense. And then what's worse is that then the script takes another pivot where there's a scene with him and his wife in a car and she's like, where did you go last night? And he's like, nothing, I didn't do anything. And she's like, I saw you with Carol Shelby. You were testing a car, weren't you? And then she starts racing insanely dangerously and overtaking cars. And she's like, yeah, you like a bit of speed, don't you? Maybe I like speed too. Why don't you admit it?
And we're like,
and
you
like,
have a child. Are you
like,
trying to
what
kill
are you
both
doing?
Parents?
You're going to orphan your child in a minute. Just so you can prove that your husband, like, what, lied? And also, why did he lie?
Yeah, because, none of it made any sense.
Because he was apparently is told her he was done with racing and is going to put aside his dreams so that they can earn money in that. And then she kind of says, in that moment, she's like, but you love racing. And then suddenly he's hiding the fact that he actually does want to do racing.
And
then
he's going to get paid $200 a day, which we gather is shitloads. To be honest,
and
that's shitloads of money. If
and then he's like,
seven...
I didn't want to tell you. And then she's like, oh, wait, you're getting a load of money. Yeah, you should do that.
But
and I was
we're
like,
talking about
oh,
the
thanks.
60s, right? He's earning, he appeared to work 7 days a week, right? So he's earning $500 a day. He's getting like over 10 grand a month. Like, that's absolutely huge money. What's he complaining about?
No, I'm not going to take it because it's Henry Ford. And then she's like, no, you should take it. And he's like, oh yeah, I should. And I'm like, movie, you just spent half an hour getting to the point that we knew you were going to get to.
Yeah.
With a load of contrived character beats.
I wondered if, you know what often happens with real movies? Is there's like things that really happen. So the filmmaker's trying to get them in. And I wonder if that happened in a lot of this stuff, because it made no sense from like a film point of view.
Maybe it did happen.
Maybe it's an anecdote that's been told about the wife and they decided to film it, but it just didn't work.
And maybe there's a real legitimate reason he wouldn't do it that the screenwriters know about and were trying to communicate, but I didn't get any of that, and it didn't make sense.
If he was to be the reluctant hero, don't first put him like rock bottom. Sorry, I'm just so tired, I'm speaking very inarticulately. Don't give him rock bottom where he's flat broke and has no job, and then offer him a job at loads of money. That's not a reluctant hero.
Exactly.
That's just an idiot.
That's just you being an idiot.
Like, if Dave lost his job and then got offered a job for loads of money to do his dream job and was railing about not doing it, I'd be like, sorry, but I'll meet you at the divorce.
But also, the reason, if it had been like again, they are constrained by what actually happened, and I don't know what actually happened in reality. But like, if I were just writing this screenplay from the off, I'd be like, well, actually, there's got to be a legitimate reason why his wife doesn't want him to go back to race. Like, he almost died. Or it's like Carroll Shelby, and if he goes near a race car again, his heart will explode. And I'm like, what's the reason? You just said you weren't going to do it anymore because you're broke. I'm like, anyway, let's not get hung up on this.
This is our problem. We're
really
totally
frustrated me. And the other thing that really frustrated me was the end of this movie when The ultimate sort of payoff for Ken Miles' character is that he's on the.
For a few minutes, it's so hot.
It's so hot. Yeah, he's on the Le Mans. He's won it. He's like laps ahead of everybody else, but he's so far ahead that our antagonist comes up with a great idea.
But I believe that's true, though. That must have happened.
It surely did happen, because there must be a photo of the three cars going across the finish line at the same time.
Which was a great ad for Ford. I was like, that's a good marketing plan.
It's a great marketing plan that he came up with on the spot. But obviously it means that Ken Miles has to slow down, and they're taking away his like crazy record, which I did feel bad for him about.
No, I enjoyed that, because I thought, well, look, you've won anyway. And then it turns out he hadn't, but it kind of made no difference to him, and they are paying the bills, like.
But then, in that moment, we get the moment where the sort of big moment, the turning point for him and his character is he's won the thing, and he looks in the rearview mirror. There's no cars behind him, he makes the decision, I'm going to wait. I'm going to toe the company line. I'm going to do this thing.
I'm going to be a Ford man.
And then he gets screwed again. So I'm like, what's the movie trying to say? The whole movie is celebrating the little guy and sort of the indomitable human spirit and passion and creativity that cannot be constrained by committee. And you've got to allow like free spirits to roam free, and don't like work under this like committee system. And then what the ultimate thing is, like, no, he also needs to learn teamwork and to work within that system, and I guess he learns sort of a middle ground, but then he gets screwed anyway. So I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying, movie. And the other thing that frustrated me was
the movie was made from a point of view of somebody who's a big fan of his and who feels like it was an injustice what was done to him.
Yeah.
And it is an injustice. Like, now what annoyed me is that basically the reason he didn't win is because one of the guys who he finished with started earlier than him.
But
Christian Bale has been posited as an absolute expert on this race. He should have known that because that guy started X amount behind him, that he needed to finish X amount ahead of him.
Yeah, but they pitch it as like he was screwed on a technicality deliberately by Josh Lucas.
Yeah, but he should have known. Like, he should have been like, oh, like, I know they all three wanted to cross the line together, but like, he could have been 20 metres ahead for the photo op.
The other thing that bothered me is that the wife is watching it on TV, and she watches him fall back and go in the fee formation, and the son goes, what's he doing? He's slowing down. And then she looks and squints and nods her head and says,
attaboy.
Good for you, Ken.
Oh, I think good for you, Ken.
Good for you, Ken. Like, wait, what? What? What are you talking about?
Well, she surely
guessed.
He's
just throwing away his dreams for the corporate machine. It's like, she's guessed what? That he's like,
but he's already
swallowed his pride? It's like, what? Was that even a thing you wanted him to do? You're in love with him. He's fine. Why are you celebrating a complete adjustment of his character for no reason?
Yeah, but it was kind of like, I actually like the idea of them all finishing together. I like the idea of Team Spirit, and he had already beaten the record. Like, he kept beating his own record around the track, so like, he was grand, like, and I really, so I I liked the ending.
It
and
was
I liked
contrived, and then and
but
then
it's not.
But then they
I think
this
that really happened, though.
Tag on thing. Oh, fine. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sure that really happened, but I'm sure they've like dialed up the internal conflict of him whether he was going to.
Oh,
do
I'm
it
sure
or not.
Josh Lucas doesn't exist.
I'd be surprised if that.
I'd say Ford
exists.
Were just like, yeah. You need to all finish together, and he just did it and lost on the technicality.
I'd be amazed if there's like detailed accounts of the VP of Ford being an absolute dick.
Yeah.
But the other thing that bothered me was like. Matt Damon, you get this little sort of epilogue with Matt Damon visiting the house, and he plays it well. Like it's a very
such
emotional
a good actor.
Scene. He's a great actor, but he shows up to give the son and wife the wrench, which Christian Bale had flung at him in the first scene of this movie where they meet each other. He flung it the wrench at him in
which
a moment
again
of
is
like
outrageous
anger,
behavior.
Exactly. And then we're supposed to be rooting for this guy. Oh, what an awesome guy! He's fucking violently throwing a metal thing at the man who's offering him a job. and then Matt Damon picks up the wrench and says to his friend, "Frame that." And I'm like, what? Why? Why did you frame that? And that we keep cutting to the wrench framed in his office the whole time. But why? Why did you do that? And then at the very end of this movie, he takes the wrench out of the frame and then brings it to the son. And then the son looks at it. And Matt Damon says, "Do you know what this is?" And he says, "I recognize that wrench. You threw it at my dad many years ago." I'm like, you fuck off. You don't recognize that wrench.
No, but to be fair, the
wrench.
Son was like a massive swat on everything the dad did. Like, he was obsessed with his dad.
Oh, I'd know that wrench anywhere.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, sorry.
But it wasn't... I don't know, it didn't really get me emotionally, like, at the end.
No,
obviously, I felt like...
Nothing
obviously,
got me
I think it's really sad
it.
That, like, he died and, like, that the son and the wife were there when it happened. But it, like, didn't make me cry or anything. And I was like, I don't know, it didn't...
No,
it's
like,
I spent the whole movie being annoyed by him that, it, like, I don't know, I was just like...
It was like reading about a death in the newspaper.
Yeah, it was
you
like...
You can say, you know, logically, that's a tragedy, and it is a tragedy. And he died before his time and young and in front of his son, and it's a horrific circumstances. But no, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah,
because
I didn't
the
feel
movie
it.
And that's why that's like what biopics should do, or whatever this you describe this movie, a good movie about real people should bring them to life and connect you with them on an emotional level. And I just keep coming back to that, and I think the movie failed for me in that regard.
It connected me with Matt Damon, though. I was like, I want to know more about Carroll Shelby. Like, annoyingly, again, when I was saying there wasn't enough exposition for me, and I know I do get pedantic for detail, it kind of appeared halfway through the... So at the start of the movie, Matt Damon's a race driver. He finds out he's a heart problem. Then we learn he's a car salesman.
It's the Rocky V scene.
So yeah,
if you get back in the ring
you'll
once
die.
More time, you'll die.
But then it was like, okay, so he's a car salesman, now I bought that. But then kind of halfway through, towards the end, it's like he owned an airport and had aeroplanes. And I
no, he,
like,
owned the hangar in the airport.
But again, like, for me, I need that kind of detail explained to me, because suddenly I'm so confused as to why Matt Damon, like, seems to own an airport or whatever was happening. And yeah, I just got... It lost me a bit. So I just felt, like, a little bit more detail on the character before you just throw stuff like that in front of the screen. But, like, my actual favourite bits, though, were all the race scenes. Like, that's when I was like, finally, it took the movie an hour and a half to get to the race scenes. And I loved them. I really enjoyed watching them. Like, watching them drive through the rain in that, like, track was, like, really scary. And there's, like, cars crashing around them and stuff. So, yeah, and I loved, like, the bit at the end where they said, you know, they... That car that they made won Le Mans like four times, and it still remains the only American built car to win. So
yeah,
like,
that was
it's an amazing story. Like,
yeah, there's. I mean, I think it isn't. There's interesting stuff in this, and I think what you said earlier, I agree with that. Movies about real life situations do inform me. Like, I feel it, and I feel informed about what it was an interesting conflict between two big companies.
And I think
and
in fair play
involved.
To the fair play to the filmmaker and the scriptwriter, because honestly, to make us feel like Ford are an underdog is absolutely hilarious. Like, they're so rich that at one point they try to buy out Ferrari, and Ferrari just don't want to be bought by them. But, like, they have the money to do it. They have the money to do anything they want to do.
I think I would rather have that information and this story conveyed to me in a really in-depth feature article in, like, Variety or The Atlantic
or
Verge or a documentary.
Yeah.
Because that's the, if you're going to do a very long feature-length film with an A-list cast, you better goddamn make me care about those people.
Yeah.
And really
like
bring
Rocky,
it to life.
And Rocky, you know, like, obviously, like, Rocky's one of our favourite movies. We talk about it all the time. But, like, Rocky's a real underdog, and he's amazing. Like, this is, like, is not an under... Like, they're not underdogs. And therefore you've lost a bit of the hook of a good sports
movie.
When
you argue that Ken Miles was the underdog in the system of
But he's not Ford, an underdog. He's like a guy who's has a successful career as a, being a racer and a mechanic. I know. You're not an underdog in that situation. Like, you've got a happy family, you've got a home, like, You're not an underdog.
Do you think we've talked about this enough?
I think we've talked. It's absolutely baking hot.
I can't believe how long we talked about this.
I can't believe I'm wearing jeans in this heat.
This is almost as long as the movie.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for suggesting this.
Sorry, one last thing. What? You deserve massive credit because at the beginning of this movie, you said to me, I swear Matt Damon has played somebody called Carol before.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, Carol's a woman's name.
And I was it's like, I don't know, it doesn't ring a bell. Then you absolutely nailed it out of the blue.
About an hour later.
30 Rock, he was Liz Lemon's love interest, Carol, the airline pilot.
So now, in 30 Rock, twice Matt Damon, at least twice, has played a man called Carol. Fun fact for everyone. And I've honestly, highlight of my week, if not my month, remembering that fact. I was like, my brain works again.
It's so much more satisfying to try and remember something rather than Googling.
Oh God, no, don't Google it.
Yeah.
The other one that was annoying me throughout was there was like at one point there was an Italian translator for Ferrari, a woman. I was like, what's she from? And then I remembered she's from Grey's Anatomy. So not only did we mention Grey's Anatomy at the top of this episode, we're mentioning it at the bottom of this episode.
Oh, great. Tail end.
For anyone who cares, she's the Italian doctor.
Bookended Grey's Anatomy references. All right, let's leave it there.
And please send us more suggestions. Thank you, everyone who suggested this. We did really enjoy watching it. And yeah, you know what? It's hard to do a cinema podcast when there ain't no cinema. So yeah, really glad we were actually. It's one of the movies we were gonna go and catch in the cinema and ended up not. So
it was an easy watch. Yeah. I know I really picked it apart, but I think it was.
But that's what
it looks great.
To do.
It was.
That's what we're expected, not getting paid to do.
Yeah, it's formulaic storytelling in a very pretty bow ribbon package. So I'm like, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
It was an easy watch.
I just wish my sister still lived in Le Mans now, because I like actually think it'd be cool to go to the 24 hour.
It's a beautiful
race.
Place to visit.
It is, yeah. We really like Le Mans.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye. Oh, follow. And if you haven't already done so, please head over to, I know I always say this, but please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We would appreciate it so much. And it only takes you a minute, and it means the world to us if you could do that. And what were you going to say, Dave?
I was going to say you can talk to us about this movie and disagree with us at The Cinemile on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Bye.
Or email us, thecinemile@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I've always been told I have a face for podcasting. So I launched a podcast. It's called Phone a Friend, because each week I'll break down the biggest stories in pop culture. But when I have questions, I get to phone a friend. I'll phone a royal watcher to find out why Prince Harry is acting like a real housewife. I'll phone a tween to please explain Euphoria. And maybe I'll even phone a Backstreet Boy to find out if I still have a chance. I don't? Okay. New episodes drop every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.